You got this thing running?
Yes, it is. It's recording.
All right. Well, it's hard to be glad tonight. So many important prayer requests, people you know of and love, and haven't seemed like losing their loved ones, but the Lord's able. And you know, the good thing about it is, if you're a child of God, when you leave this world, you just step into a better country, and your suffering and your toiling's over with. I'd like for you to look with me tonight into 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm not going to go through all these chapters, but I just couldn't leave this book without thinking about maybe a little different approach. David had a great victory in chapter 17, and we know that he learned to use faith in the Lord while he was tending his father's sheep. And that's the way it is with us today. If you win victories, sometimes public victories, it's because you've already won the victory in your heart with the Lord. God's the one that gives us the victory. He empowers us to be able to do those things that we need to do. Here in chapter 17, Goliath, of course, is a type of the god of this world, the devil himself, and he cries out to those that were facing him. In verse number 8, he says, "You choose a man to send down to me that'll be able to fight. If he wins, then we'll be your servants, and if I win, then you'll have to serve us." Well, he was crying to choose out a man, but the one that was going to defeat Israel's enemy had already been chosen by God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And today, you might not know what God has in store for you sometimes when the door opens, but if he's leading you to go in there, he may have chosen you to tear down some barriers that the devil has set up, and there's some things that'll happen when we just follow the Lord. But I'd like to think about this tonight in these verses. David here is a type of the Lord Jesus as he comes out, and he faces this giant of a devil. He destroys the works of the devil, and we know the Lord himself has bruised the head of the serpent and won the victory for us. And so I'm glad tonight to know we have a Savior, a Redeemer that's well able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so David in the Bible here is a type of the Lord. Now there's a lot of types in the Bible. John, you remember when he started his ministry, he saw the Lord walking. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so what he's doing is comparing him to the Lamb. And you know, through all the Old Testament books, the Lamb that was, the blood was shed, the Lamb was brought, and the blood was put on the doorpost and the Passover, and all those things are so highly typical. And the Lord does use a lot of types in the Bible to show us some great truths. But I'd like you to think about that in these verses tonight. Maybe it's a little different approach than what you've heard. But look in chapter 17 and verse number 22. You can see that David was sent upon a gracious mission. So David left his carriage there in the hand of the keeper, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And so Christ, like David, came from the Father rejoicing to do his will. David came bringing some gifts there in verse number 17 and 18. Jesse said unto David, "Take now for thy brethren an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captains of the thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." And so the Father sent David on a mission. He said, "Take these things that they can use and go and see how they do." And you know what he was trying to do was encourage the brethren there. David was sent on this gracious mission. And we know the Bible says in John 1 verse 14 that grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he came. And it's we sing at Christmas time, we celebrate the Lord's birth, about tidings of great joy shall be to all people, and we look up and rejoice that God has come in the person of his Son to give us great life and victory and life. David came from the Father rejoicing, bringing some gifts. And so you can see this mission he was sent upon. But look in verse 28, somewhat of a contrast here. You see that David's motives were misjudge. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and his anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why hast thou comest down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few?" Notice this, he's putting him down, isn't he? "Those few sheep in the wilderness." You're just a little old runny shepherd boy. You don't even have a whole lot. Who's tending your sheep? He said, "I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Well, he said, "You've just come down here. Curious. You want to see what some real men are doing, little old runt. That's all you are. Don't even have but just a handful of sheep." Isn't that bad? The eldest brother, you know, like the Pharisees, show that they did not really understand why David had come. His character was pure. Now think about the contrast. He was generous-minded. He was unselfish. And it was even an insult to his father who had sent him. So David suffered here like Christ has suffered, and sometimes we suffer if we're faithful to the Word of God and to the Father to do His will. People will try to make you look like you're nothing. You don't count for much. You know, sometimes preachers get a little bit of criticism. They say, "Why don't you get a real job? Why don't you get out here and do some real work and all this stuff?" Well, I'll tell you right now, we're doing the real work when we're serving Amen. The Almighty. Amen. And when we're going out and trying to help somebody that's suffering, or trying to show somebody the light and have them escape that terrible place called hell. I think that's a pretty good job if you can help somebody to get their eyes open, isn't it? They were misjudging David's motives. And I like what David's reply was in verse 29. I think this is one of the greatest verses in this Old Testament. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? Well, there was a cause. There was a great, far-reaching, God-glorifying cause that one could come down and defeat the devil that had opposed the armies of the living God. And so, notice the next thing, verse 32, you see his solemn determination. David said unto Saul, "Well, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go down and fight this Philistine." Not too long ago, the pastor brought a message, I think, about this giant. Look in chapter 17 there. You can see again in verse 4, this Philistine that went down, his height was 6 cubits. And a span, it comes out to 9.5 feet. I'm about 6 right here. If you can imagine 3.5 foot more up, it'd be almost at the bottom of that projector thing. This guy, this giant of a man, his helmet was of brass upon his head. And verse 5, he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight just of this coat alone was 5,000 shekels of brass, which amounts to about 160 pounds, just the coat of armor that he had on. And of course, he talks about this brass that was upon his legs and between his shoulders. In verse 7, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. And there was one even that went before him bearing a shield. He came out and cried against the armies of Israel, said, "You just fight with me." In verse 9, somebody can defeat me. Well, he had them frightened to death. Look what David says. As a contrast to that, when he came down to Saul, in verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." David said, "My fathers can take care of this problem." He scared these men of war to death. Well, naturally, when David said that, there were some repercussions, of course. God's special purpose was bringing him into camp at this time. God had a purpose of David coming down. As the Lord, we know, the Bible says, set his face like a flint, that he would go toward Jerusalem. He would go and do the Father's will and overthrow the plans of the devil, of course. And we know today, if the Spirit leads us, that which might seem weak to the world, it doesn't matter. God's still in charge. Look in verse 33. David said, Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." He was a man of war, and a man of war from his youth. David probably was a teenager and maybe never started shaving and probably still had some peach fuzz on his face. He was ruddy with all. They said just a fair countenance. It's just a young, smooth complexion, a teenage boy there. And he comes down there frightened and said, "Don't any of you men, don't be worried about this. I'll go down and take care of this problem." Because he had been along with the Lord, you see, up there on the hillsides, playing his harp and praising the Lord. And God showed him what he was able to do. But I'll take this shepherd's staff, just like the Lord, you know. The Bible says that he is our good shepherd. And sometimes, you know, those things that look like it would be most unfit for conflict, the Bible says that God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. It's not in our own physical strength that this battle can be won. It's in the power of God himself. And I'll tell you the truth. The more we can recognize that it is only through God that we can do what we do, the more victories we'll have. The victory's won up on our knees. Or if you can't get on your knees, which you can pray, God can give you the battle, the victory. Look at David's unwavering confidence. Why would he walk up and say, this giant's nothing? In verse 34 and 37, I know you've read this and thought about it, but just look at it one more time in light of this. David said unto Saul, verse 34, "Thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and he said, I went after him." Now, I've saw some bears that weighed several hundred pounds, and they just, you know, when they walk, you can see their muscles ripple on. I mean, I'm talking about 1,000 pounds or more. There's some bears in these woods here that you would not want to tangle with, trust me. I mean, there used to be grizzly bears that lived through these mountains. They've been killed off and stuff. But we have some monster black bears that are still here. I mean, two men can't hardly pick one up and put it on the truck after it's been killed. They're huge. David said, there was a bear and a lion, and I don't want to tangle with a lion, but he said, "I went after him, and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that," now this is why, "he hath defied the armies of the living God." And so he's saying, God's gave me victory over some powerful things before, and God will give me the victory again. And so we know the Lord Jesus Christ has the power over heaven and earth. Those that defy God, as we see people brag about what they'll do today, you know, they're not to be feared by those that are really trusting in the Lord. And so, a lot of times people do, they say, "Well, now you're going to have something. You can't do it." Verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor, put this helmet on him and the brass on his head and his armor and his coat of mail. I imagine he really looked silly, a little young lad in this great big armor rattling as he tried to move around. And so he put it off of him. In verse 39, he said, "I've not proved that. I can't go like that." And you know, really, today, as we think about the invisible armor that we have, Goliath could only see this small lad with a staff there. He didn't see the mighty name of God, the Lord God of heaven and earth, that was able to do abundantly, as I said above all anyone might ask or think. Proverbs, there's a great verse in chapter 18 there. And verse number 10, the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are saved. So David wasn't going out and saying, well, I think I'm pretty good. No, he said, God's the one that's able. And I don't care how much you have done before, you better know that God's with you when you stand against the forces of evil in this world. So we put on the power of God. So many times, you know, we think about these great verses like Ephesians in chapter number 6, down through verse 6 through 10 there. We fought this battle. Listen to what he says, Galatians 6. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord. How are you going to do that? And in the power of His. Now see this, every word's written for a reason. We stand in the power of His might. Now, I know it's a wonderful thing to study and get every bit of education that you could do. I mean, it's wonderful to have all the experiences and encouragement from people that's been there and done that and all this stuff. But if you're standing, you know, it's like those disciples were facing some of those evil people in their day that were full of demons and all. And one of them said, well, wait, we know Jesus and Paul and all, but who are you? Yeah. And they fled from them, about beat to death. And you know, you don't just go up. So I'm coming in the name of this apostle, or I'm coming because I've got these credentials or whatever. You better come in the power of the Almighty if you're going to have the victory against the forces of the devil. Amen. In this day. Amen. And he says, we are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power. And the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, or withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod to the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, where you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. And so we know today how the battle is won. David had some invisible armor. Well, look at this great victory, the decided victory. Who was going to be winning? This little lad walked up in verse 46. This giant had already been cursing David and cursing the God of David. In verse 40, David picked up these five smooth stones in this brook, put them in his little shepherd bag. I think he probably felt of them, rolled them around his hand, and said, yeah, that's about what I'm used to using. That'll do just fine. And you, those slings that you might think is a little simple thing, but if you've ever had a long kind of a sling, it made, I don't know if anybody had done that or not, but when I was growing up, we tried to make some stuff like that. You can sling a rock pretty fast. Yep. Knock a window out or knock somebody's brains out with.
You can embed it into the stone or the wooden posts of a fence.
It's a powerful weapon, really it is. But David, in verse number 46, he says, this day, he was speaking to verse 45, David, he said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and the spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Don't you know God was looking down over the banister of heaven? There's a banister up there. And he heard David say that. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses to the host of the Philistines. He said, not just you, but I'm going to give all of these Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. They didn't go out and bury these dead men. They just allowed the scavengers to take care of that. That all the earth, here it is, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. It's kind of like some of these other Old Testament men like Daniel said, there is a God in heaven. He can tell this old king what's going on. He knew the God that could give the victory. And so when he comes down, he begins to instruct this one. And really, instead of David shaking all this Philistine army and this great giant should have been shaking in their boots. While they were mocking at this little lad, God was on this little lad's side. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, what did he do? Oh Lord, what have I got myself into? David ran, look, the Bible says, he hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. And David, while he was running, put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that it sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. There was no sword in his hand. David ran, drew out this Philistine's own sword, and cut his head off. Now think about what's taking place. This great victory. David prevailed over this Philistine with a sling and a stone. And why I said it's a sling of faith and the stone of the truth, that David's Lord gained the victory so many times. Like in Luke chapter 4, when the devil came out to tempt the Lord. Why don't you just turn these stones into bread? He quoted scripture, didn't he? It's written, amen, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Why don't you just cast yourself off from this pinnacle of the temple and look what will happen. They'll all worship him. He said, no, it's written so many times. And David didn't go out there and said, and I'll have you know I'm experiencing all. He said, I'm coming because the Lord God of heaven, you defile, is able to give us the victory. I mean, the truth is, we should never have to fear as long as the Lord is with us. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. The pastors quoted these verses, these three Hebrew children. They said, I don't know whether we'll be delivered or not, but one thing we do know, we're not going to bow whether we're delivered or not.
That's right.
You might be surprised how much God can give the victory. Well, we know that Jesus conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered everything. Let me read this verse in Hebrews chapter 2 as we're kind of winding this down here tonight. Might be a little shorter than normal. Maybe not much, but anyhow, it wouldn't matter if I got out 5 minutes early. People don't usually complain over that. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. Listen to these two verses. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, Jesus, likewise took part of the same. He became, you know, man that he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so Jesus came forth from that grave. And in one sense of the word, they've already said, Saul said, well now you can't do it. I wonder why he didn't try to stop him. He said, you're just a little lad. This man, nobody's going up against him. Why didn't he try to talk David out? I think he just said, well, you're that crazy. Go ahead and get yourself killed. Everybody else has been killed that went up against this giant. But they found out that God was with this lad.
Amen.
And so, in a sense, David, in a way, came back from the battle where he should have died. And he would have had the odds been even and everything, because he was far outmatched in strength in so many ways. But you see, the Lord was with him. And we know today that there is a battle between the representatives of two different kinds of kingdoms, and each nation conquers or fails, and they're champions a lot of times. I'm glad to know tonight that, thanks be to God, that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that won the battle. Like David came, shepherd's staff, Jesus came as a shepherd. He said, my sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me. We can rest tonight, confidence, knowing he's able, well able.
Amen.
We really ought to feel sorry for those that mock and try to hinder the right way, because they're only going to end up in judgment and in a terrible place. Because nobody can overdo the greatness of the Almighty. That's why it just encouraged me so much to see young people stepping out for the Lord.
Amen.
They can do great things for God. Sometimes older people will sit back and say, well, I've done so much, I think I'm just going to rest. These little old kids out here getting the battle, and God gives the victory. And we go forward. Anybody, one person, God's always the majority, isn't that right?
Yeah.
I love to study that. I know it's just something that we might wear out a lot of times, but it's in the Bible, and God uses it so many ways to encourage people when they think they're going to be defeated. It's always too early to give up. It's always right to keep in the battle. God's able. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you can deliver us, even though we may seem to be frail in the face of the enemy and the opposition may mock. God, we know that you're the one that gives the victory, and we know that just like our Lord came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and we can be conquerors through him. Thank you tonight, Lord, for all you're going to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I got so many grandmas and great grandmas and all the people I'm well taken care of.
Hey, bud.
Can you throw a football?
Huh?
I said, can you throw a football?
Oh, I can throw one. Not